and welcome to Keyframe, the animation show all about animation. I'm here today with the amazingly moving Rob and the slightly static Dave at the moment. Move a bit. You're on an animation show.
I'm saving animation budget.
Okay.
Fair to me. I'll go to a static shot of a background in a second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I take up the entire animation budget.
And the last three episodes of Evangelion.
Anyway, how are you guys today? You doing good?
Yes.
Feeling moving?
Keep on moving. Don't stop. No.
Okay. Anyway, we got some news today, Dave?
Oh, we have a ton of news today.
Oh, God, yes.
Starting off with Studio Ghibli, or should I say Zeebly, or...
Ghibli.
Goobaloo.
There's a debate about this.
There's a debate, but it's got a H after the G, so it would be Ghibli rather than Ghibli.
But he says it's pronounced Ghibli.
If he says it's pronounced Ghibli, then we'll call it Ghibli, but it's like the GIF argument. You know, we've called it GIF, we're going to keep calling it GIF no matter what the creator said.
Right. Okay. So, they've announced on Thursday that When Mommy Was There will open in the US in theatres on May 22nd, and they've also released the dub cast for it. Mm. I believe you have a rundown of the main actors.
Yes, the main actors. Hayley... I've forgotten her name.
Steinfeld.
Hayley Steinfeld is going to play the role of Anna, and Kenan Shipka is going to play the role of Marnie. And the dub is also going to feature the voices of Kathy Bates, Ellen Burstyn, Gina Davis, Catherine O'Hara, John C. Reilly, Rainey Rodriguez, Vanessa Williams, Gray Griffith, Ava Akers, and Ellen Burstyn. And didn't I say Ellen Burstyn already? Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
She's going to play two roles.
Oh, well, animation is not that unusual.
Yep. Anyway, the film's going to launch on May the 22nd in New York and Los Angeles, with expansion to major markets to follow. So it should arrive here in the UK a year later.
Yeah, they'll be keeping updated on their official Facebook page.
Yes, they will.
Where it's going to roll out.
Right. Do you guys know what When Marnie Was There is about?
Well, I know it's an adaptation of a novel, a bit like Arrietty and Howl's Moving Castle. It's an English novel, isn't it?
It's an English novel by John G. Robinson. It's about a young girl who is sent from her foster home in the city to a sleepy seaside town one summer, where she spends her days dreaming among the marshes and considering herself a sort of outsider in the world. Her life changes when she meets Marnie, but their unique friendship is soon threatened by mystery and various other things. Because, I'm not going to spoil it.
Because it would be much of a movie if nothing
happened. No, I'm not going to spoil it. There is a twist there. I'm not going to spoil it because there is a twist there.
Cool. I generally go into most Ghibli films, like, cold. Yeah. So I generally don't look at the plot beforehand. So
yeah, you're like, it's Ghibli. It's going to be good. I'm not gonna come out of the cinema going, oh, that wasn't what I expected, because you don't have expectations.
Yeah, I didn't actually know what The Wind Rises was about until I watched it.
And you were blown away by it.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that that as a subject matter was chosen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually like the story for When Marnie Was There. I've read it. I read it years ago.
Yeah.
It is a really interesting story. I'm looking forward to this one.
Cool. Are you aware of the anime Yomushi Pedal?
Yes,
it's
I am fully
swimming
up to date
anime
with...
for bikes.
It's just cycling. It's there's very, very few anime about cycling. I can only name three: Yomushi Pedal, Nasu, and Overdrive.
Well,
that's pretty much it.
Got a bizarre piece of tie-in merch from them.
Okay.
From Casio, they're bringing out a special digital camera, which is engraved with the main cycling teams on the front, but also lets you have pictures with the characters. So if you took a selfie, you get the characters there as well.
Yeah, it's basically sort of like a camera with a Photoshop filter over the top with the characters on, so you can stick the characters in your photos.
What?
Thing that surprised me the most, 20 gigabyte...
20 megapixel.
20 megapixel even... camera, that's a decent camera.
Again, I repeat, what? Yomushi Pedal. Of all the anime of all the anime that exists at this moment in time that you want to have your photo taken with, they chose Yomushi Pedal?
Oh, it makes sense. It's one of those very, oh, I'm a beautiful man. Oh.
Why not Kuroko no Basket, where it's basically a bunch of bishies?
Well, this one's a bunch of bishies as well. So,
the main character is not a bishy.
He's a bit specky, moe.
Yeah. So still,
he's a bit specky, skinny, short. Looks like when he grows up, he's going to be just a salary man and no one special. That kind of character.
But he seems to have like a fairly big like female following, at least in Japan.
Japan.
And that's all they really want is like, has he got a following? Yes. Okay, well, chip it.
So they're expecting the retail price is 27,000 yen, which equates to about $224.
Yeah.
So let's say about 150 quid sort of mark.
Yeah.
So they're like that for a piece of tie-in merch, that's quite expensive.
That is.
Yeah, but I mean it is a fully functioning digital camera.
Yeah, the thing is, can I take the pictures without the characters in it?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe it's worth it.
Yeah.
This is an added feature that you can cut and copy subjects and put yourself in the anime or put the characters in your picture. Make it look like you're having like a big group selfie and you right in the center of it.
Just show how lonely you really are.
Yes.
I need to Photoshop in fake people.
I couldn't see them doing it with Western animation.
Not just fake people, animated.
I couldn't see with like Western animation, but I could definitely see them doing something like this with like One Direction or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
More sort of a photo booth kind of thing. And
I was
going
to say, have you been to Disneyland?
Yeah. I mean, like, as a thing to sell to a mainstream audience out there.
Have you been to Disneyland?
But I don't think people are going to drop 150 quid to get a camera that allows you to take a picture of you and Mickey Mouse.
Depends on how much your child nags you when you go to Disneyland.
I said that you pay 20 quid to get a picture of Mickey and you get a wonderful lifetime experience. This you get a camera.
Yes.
Okay, right. Next up, they've released the trailer for the new Pokemon X and Y movie.
All the legendaries.
Yep. Well, they're finally revealing the new legendary, which is Hooper.
Releasing.
See, you call him Hooper, and I'm just thinking of some guy who plays basketball. I don't know why.
It seems to be based on sort of like a gin kind of thing.
Okay.
He's got like the hoops. Hooper sort of refers to like these bangles he has on him, which also are these like portals that he like throws them out and portals come. And that's where in the trailer where all these legendaries are like coming out of, and it's shown tons of them, like Dialga, Palkia, Giratina, Reshiram, Kyogre,
it's
Groundon.
Given how long ago it was since I was into Pokemon, everything that you just said right now was all kind of foreign to me.
Well, basically, it looks like
Lugia.
Yeah.
Do you know Lugia?
Yes, I remember Lugia because it sounded like Lugie.
So the fact they got Lugia in is like, while they're going like way back when, is this going to have every legendary in it? Like every major one at least? Because it's like...
I
don't think it has Mewtwo.
Mewtwo's sort of a special case.
Can I just ask, are you saying then that this Hooper is like Gilgamesh from Fate Zero? In that he has all the legendaries, just like Gilgamesh had all
behind
of the...
Behind a portal. And
yeah,
just
basically he just makes portals and then they come flying out.
So he is basically the Gilgamesh
Berserk is going to come and...
Yeah.
Ben, I've got a few more here. There's Darkrai, Kyurem, Rayquaza, Arceus.
Oh, they're bringing in God.
So he is Gilgamesh then?
Yeah.
Have they given him like gold armor and he stands there all arrogant and proud?
Well, the rings are gold.
And it seems like he's going to use his... The trailer alludes to the Hooper Unleashed form.
Yeah.
Okay, they shouldn't call this Pokemon XY. They should call it Pokemon /Zero.
So there is a lot of stuff. And legendaries are always hype. And by the way, I'm not sure if I just missaw something, but when they show Rayquaza, it kind of looked... Black.
It's mega black Rayquaza.
So that means it's the shiny form.
Yeah.
That means they're probably going to have, whenever they release a movie, they usually have tie-in game events. So it's probably going to be the Hooper event. That one's obvious. So probably a shiny Rayquaza one. They might basically just go, hey, here's all the legendaries that's not in the game at the moment. In the game. So like, hey, it's got me hype. There's nothing more hype than legendaries, and this has every one of them.
A few Western animation fans have been hype for something coming back from the childhoods, which we've got a release date for.
Yes.
And it's like
Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's like a hurricane.
DuckTales, yeah. DuckTales.
Oh, I was going to do the full song there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
sorry.
You interrupted. So,
sorry, it's hard not to get excited when you hear that playing. Like, I'm pretty sure someone could play that like 2 o'clock in the morning, and everyone in the air would go, "DuckTales is on."
So it's going to be on Disney XD.
Yes,
yeah. It should be in 2017. The thing has released it
because Disney did originally announce they were looking to bring back some of their older properties before December.
Mm-hmm.
So they've actually confirmed a release date for this one now.
They've confirmed a release date, and because the fans will never be happy, everyone has now been demanding off the back of this Darkwing Duck.
Oh God, yes!
I remember recently they released the game back onto on PC, on Steam, on the Xbox Arcade, PSN, and it did really, really well.
Yeah,
because this fan base is still holding so strong, so I've got no doubt that it's going to be great as a cartoon again.
It says all the returning characters will be back, so Uncle Scrooge, Huey, Dewey, Louie, Donald Duck, Webbergirl, who was the girl,
yeah.
Launchpad McQuack, and the villains like the Beagle Boys, Morgana Le Fay.
We know who you're on about.
So basically they're getting the old gang's coming back together,
and there's a picture of him
for one last.
I can't remember his name.
Adventure.
The evil Scottish millionaire duck.
Oh, the arch nemesis to Scrooge McDuck.
I say it's like a relative term, really, isn't it? Because like Scrooge wasn't a nice guy,
but
this guy
as well.
Was a bit nastier.
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck is a person who abuses the tax system to get his money. The other guy abuses the tax system and also
he was more
labor.
Evil and more Scottish. He wore a kilt and everything.
Basically, Scrooge McDuck is Mr. Burns, and the other guy was like a more eviler version of Mr. Burns.
Like season one Mr. Burns.
Yes. with his giant sun blocker. Anyway.
And some other older Western properties were reappearing in a quite different way. So the fashion brand Machino, for their fall 2015 line...
Yeah, their collection.
...are doing urban Looney Tunes.
Yes, because they're two things that always needed to go together.
So everything in their line is emblazoned with, as I said, urban Looney Tunes. We have...
Isn't this like early 1990s fashion all over again?
Absolutely. They're wearing like basketball tops,
big
jumpers,
oh.
And they've got like Tweety Bird in a backwards cap.
It's Space Jam all over again.
Porky Pig in a little pork pie hat with huge bling on, Daffy Duck covered in bling, and the whole thing. They've got like high-end handbags with like Bugs Bunny with a diamond-encrusted crown on there.
Thing is, I'm pretty sure I've seen designs sort of like this in pre-market points.
Yeah.
Like, just Looney
because
Tunes.
Because it's early 90s fashion, and the relics of that end up in Primark.
So, fashion goes in cycles, so...
Yes.
Well, one of these is a big... They're wearing... On top of the top, they're wearing a big Flavor Flav-style clock.
Yeah.
With Tweety Bird's face.
Just a quick question. Who's Flavor Flav? Because some of our younger listeners might not know.
I barely know.
all I know is he wears... giant chains with clocks on, goes Flavor Flav, and that is all the characteristics I know.
Was he in Celebrity Big Brother or something?
Huh?
I think so, and he was still wearing a giant clock.
I remember he used to do things for MTV. That is my extent of knowledge of Flavor Flav. He might have been a rapper of some sort.
Yeah, he was a rapper.
Yeah, he was a rapper of some sort. I know that much.
I'm not down with all the kids.
If you look him up, you'll find this exact style and just put Sylvester the Cat on top of it. Done.
Done.
Yep.
Replace his head with Sylvester the Cat.
Must be so easy to be a fashion designer.
It seems to be get something old and put on someone, or make something completely inconvenient and you have got fan hit.
Well, you guys have seen Zoolander, haven't you?
Yes.
That is probably the... I know it's a comedy, but it's probably one of the most accurate films about the fashion industry outside of The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, yeah, it's parody, and to do good parody, you need to know your source material.
Yeah, I mean, the walk-off was hilarious.
Yeah.
David Bowie just suddenly appearing out of nowhere.
I'm pretty sure if you ever have a walk-off, like a real one, David Bowie just he sort of he
he'll just appear.
I smell a walk off.
So I'm gonna segue from a blinged out Daffy Duck to a blinged out Freezer.
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
The newest trailer for Dragon Ball Z Revival of F is out.
Yes.
And it reveals we already knew that the main villain was gonna be Freezer.
Yeah.
The subtitle for the film is The Worst Wish Possible.
Okay. So obviously someone made the wish to bring back Freezer.
And he's back. And he has a new final form. That wasn't even his final form before.
Okay.
He has a new one.
The thing I like about the fact he's got a new final form, that means before, when he died, he was like, yeah, this isn't good enough to get my final form out.
Well, maybe... Well, when
but then again, people seem to train while they're in hell.
When Goku died, he trained...
Yeah.
Like, on King Kai's planet in the next world. So, potentially, maybe Frieza did the same, but...
So, what is Frieza's new final form? His final form, maybe.
His potentially final form that's going to face off against Super Saiyan God is Golden Frieza.
Which actually makes him look like an Oscar.
Kind of.
It does a bit.
He has and the award goes to...
He has a purple face.
Yep. Because branding.
He's maintained the same voice actor in Japan.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, Frieza's original voice actor for the English dub died a few years ago.
Yes.
And she was a librarian, and it's the only voice acting role she did.
Yeah.
Oh, what a hell of a voicing job, though. It's like, I only did the one job. I was Frieza. It's like, how can you ever...
Can you imagine that on your CV? I voiced Frieza.
It's like...
Yeah, as I said, her day job was a librarian.
12 years as a librarian. Good with people. Can organise stuff well. The voice of Frieza.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure you can get any job with that on your CV.
Well, she falls into the same category as, say, James Earl Jones. You know, he can get any job because he is the voice of Darth Vader.
Yeah, but he's got, like... A big repertoire aside.
No,
from
I'm
that.
Saying if he didn't have that, he could still get any job he wanted because all he'd need on his CV is I voiced Darth Vader.
I wonder if she was like, I always wanted to be a librarian, but no one take a chance on me because I don't have any library experience.
Thing is, it's
so I voiced Frieza, so they give me a job.
I'll tell you something. It's amazing how much those sorts of credentials actually carry in the entertainment industry. You remember Heroes?
Yes.
Right. You remember Christopher Eccleston was in Heroes?
Yes.
As the Invisible Man.
As the Invisible Man. Do you know how he ended up in Heroes?
I know he was in Doctor Who previously.
He was in Doctor Who previously, and then, you know, basically his contract ended with Doctor Who. And the guys who were producing Heroes were looking around for someone to take on the role Invisible Man. And they looked, and they were massive fans of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They said, Christopher Eccleston's contract's ended. We can have Doctor Who on Heroes. That's pretty much their conversation.
Yeah.
So, yep, Frieza's returning along with a legion of his planetary trade organization, I believe they were called.
Yeah, trade. Isn't that like a Star Wars Phantom Menace thing? Yes, we're a trade federation.
No, they used to, when I say planetary trade federation, they used to trade in planets.
Ah, right, so they were literal.
Yeah.
Here's a planet I'll trade to you for a shiny Charizard.
That's what the
I will trade Jupiter for some magic beans.
The Saiyans that were under their employ, that was their job to eliminate the indigenous species of a planet.
So they were planet wranglers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got another blast from the past. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is coming back for its 20th anniversary in a re-edited broadcast.
Yes. Like, I can't believe it's 20 years old.
I looked it up, the series that you saw, the American one, isn't 20 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't believe that his hair is still as pointy as ever. And so are his clothes. His clothes are pointy, his hair's pointy. I mean, don't go near this guy with balloons. Seriously.
So actually, this re-edited broadcast might be the first time you get to see the original series of Yu-Gi-Oh! Because it actually begins with his life at high school.
Yeah.
And the King of Games moniker was because all games.
Yeah.
It was only the season finale of the original series ended with Duel Monsters.
Yeah.
Ah. So.
And then that became popular enough that's what the series focused on from then on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because I've only ever known them playing Yu-Gi-Oh! it's strange to think that it was ever anything else.
But in the show, they only gave a call the card game Duel Monsters.
Yeah.
Because it would be weird if, like...
hey, I'm Yugi. Here's a game named after me.
Yep.
Not named after Pegasus or Kyber or any of those people that were like, involved in the creation of the game.
I shall create this game and name it after this one boy who will one day be very good at it.
His name's Jeff.
That would have been completely different if just someone else was better than Yugi at that game.
Yes.
You can't defeat me, boy. Who do you think you are? I'm on the cover.
So it reminds me of in Final Fantasy VIII, where you play card games against people and you can get cards with your picture on. I'm like, I'm facing you with a picture of me.
The only way we can do that in real life is with my edited version of Cards Against Humanity.
Actually, not anymore. 18's introduced Gold Saucer and they have Triple Triad in there.
They do, yes.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, 15. 14.
14, 18. Where did I get 18 from? I think, do you know, it's you with Dragon
Numbers.
Ball. It's you with Dragon Ball all the time and thinking Android. No. Anyway, yeah. We can face off against people with Triple Triad now.
Cool. That was the best part of that game. That's the only part of Final Fantasy VIII I've actually played is Triple Triad.
They actually have the card game, the proper card game as well.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to get hold of.
I can imagine.
Here's a one for Ben.
Yes.
On April 4th. Season 5 of
My Little Pony. Friendship is Magic.
I'm just going to let you feel this, Ben. You know your ponies.
Okay, spoilers, hands off, because I'm going to be talking about some things that have been announced. They've announced the synopsises for quite a few of the episodes. I haven't looked at all of them. I've just watched a couple of videos. They've announced that the Smoo is coming back.
The Smoo?
What is a Smoo?
The Smoo is a giant blob monster. And
was it like late in the day when they had to name it?
Don't you think that Smoo is a good name for a giant blob?
What have we got for a conflict in this episode? Nothing yet. Blob monster. Smoo.
Except done. Smoo is actually a creature that featured in the original My Little Pony series. So it's coming back. It's seems to be, from what I've seen, something to do with Discord. And he seems like the one who introduced the Smoo into what seems to be like a royal ball.
Hang on, who's Discord?
Discord is a basically all-powerful being that loves destruction and chaos. He is, can't remember what it's called, it's like a dragon quartz or something like that.
A dragon?
It's like part dragon, part bird, part chicken, part... It's like a whole load of...
Oh, I've seen him. He's like a patchwork. He's like a chimera. Kind of...
There's a name for the actual like combination. I just can't remember it off the top of my head.
A chimera's kind of like a bit blended in. He literally has like limbs of different things. You know, and the colour scheme is different.
He himself is chaotic in his design.
A collage of monsters.
Like I said, like a patchwork kind of thing.
So, like, he's one of my favourite characters, but he's reformed in season 2, I believe it was. And they did it really well. They ended the last series with like a really good like rounding of his story arc.
So they reformed him and now he's evil again?
No, he's not evil. He's just still a bit crazy.
You said he represents chaos.
Yeah, so. Like he's now friends with like... The main thing, well, say friends. Most of them just put up with him. He's friends with Fluttershy. They've also got stuff like they've announced that maybe some background ponies are going to get some more development. A lot of people are hoping for Derpy, but after what happened in season 2, I'm not sure that's going to happen. Like, do you know about that controversy? Derpy got a voicing role and people flipped and thought is really insulting because she had a bit of a silly voice and people like, and she acted a bit stupid, like, this is discrimination against the mentally disabled. Like, so they sort of they edited it to give her a different voice and cut out her name of Derpy, and then she wasn't seen for like the rest of the season. So I'm not sure that it's going to be Derpy, but Vinyl Scratch featured like a good role in Rainbow Rocks.
Do you think political correctness has gone too far?
It's a bit here, there. there were people who were genuinely insulted by it, and I get their point.
Yeah, I get. I understand their point, but I mean, as far as I understood, the
outcry was more that it was a. I think people felt it was a misinterpretation of a fan favorite character. So it,
all right, okay.
It was only a background role, but people had built it up into.
Yeah. You know, so like, in their imagination, it was something, and when the reality happened, they couldn't live with it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, internet.
So, like I said, Rainbow Rock's final featured in it, so she might get a speaking role. Octavia had a voice in the Rainbow Rock, so, and those two have a huge fan pairing thing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's going to go on. We got hints about who might be a series antagonist. So there's a lot going on. I'm looking forward to it coming out.
Yeah. But it's out on Discovery Family.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a change for it.
Well, Discovery were in talks with Hasbro about getting it aired on their channel.
Okay.
So I'm guessing maybe they made a better offer than the Hub this time, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Cool. And finally, Turner will be launching Toonami in a new territory.
Yes, they're going to be launching Toonami in India. And all of all those titles like Batman, Superman, Transformers, Justice League, Inazuma 11 Go, and Dragon Ball Z.
I think that's what most people remember Toonami for.
Yeah,
it's like, well, Dragon Ball Z. That's where most people.
They're all
going
to be opening up to a whole new audience of around 1 billion people potentially.
Yeah,
Akira Toriyama is going to make a whole lot more money.
Depends how well it goes. I can't see it going badly, but.
If you look at how well, as Dave mentioned before the show, if you look at how well Dragon Ball has done in South America.
Oh, yeah, it's massive.
And use that as a marker for Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Southern Asia, I should say.
It's weird how well it crosses over. You know,
yeah.
I find it strange that like the Latin countries have embraced all these blonde-haired people.
Do you know what would be hilarious if Dragon Ball eventually united the world?
It's like,
just raise your hands and give your energy to the spirit ball.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, just the UN's are like, okay, now we're talking about nuclear weapons. Did anyone say Dragon Ball on Saturday?
Oh.
Do you think they're going to beat Freeza?
Oh, the UN adopt a new salute. Kame.
So yeah, this is a great move for Toonami.
Yeah.
Piccolo elected as Guardian of Earth.
I dig it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, it's got a lot of potential to open up the market for like, and like, if this goes well, it could be a good sign for other things to go over there as well.
Or Toonami to come back here.
No.
Yes,
no.
I would like.
No, no. My mind just rebelled.
Okay.
The Bollywood version of Dragon Ball.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I want to see this right now.
It'll happen now. It's pretty much guaranteed to happen now that Dragon Ball is going to be open to them.
Imagine a Bollywood Ginyu Force. That would be amazing. It needs to happen.
Yes. Get on it, India.
Oh, I think we just came up with an awesome and terrible idea.
This is Andy from Literary Lightroom, telling you to go and listen to us, where we literally loiter about everything literary, with far too much loitering.
Welcome back to Keyframe, the animation show brought to you by the lovely people at The Geek Show. We're heading into our review section now, and we have a mixed bag from Ben and Rob, starting off with Ben.
Yes. This week I've been watching a show called Bento. I did pick it simply because it had Ben on the disc when I was picking stuff out to review, and man am I glad I did. It doesn't actually have anything to do with anyone called Ben. It's got to do with a guy called Sato. And he is a student at school that basically tries to help people become more independent, get used to life outside. So although their dorms give you breakfast, you have to get your own lunch and dinner. And to try and keep a good balance on his money, he finds out that the local stores put half off stickers on their bento boxes at the end of the day. So like, for when they're closing, they can get rid of the rest of the stock and like half price food. Who could ever say no to half price food? Well, I guess a lot of people can't say no to half-price food because when you go for those bento boxes, everyone fights over them. And I'm not meaning get off my bento, this is mine, this is mine. No, they physically fist fight each other for bento boxes.
So it's like Black Friday Street Fighter?
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
Sato and Oshiroi, who's a young girl, go to try and get this meal. And just things are crazy. People are beating the hell out of each other. And they end up meeting up with a girl called, who's known as the Ice Witch. And she is the last member of the half-price food lovers club. There's a club that basically goes to these events.
Is there a club for everything in Japanese high school?
Apparently. So they join up with her and they start fighting for their food. And of all the animes I've watched in quite a while, this has some of the greatest fight scenes I have ever seen.
Okay. When the stakes are this high.
Yes, the stakes
are this low.
They have...
Remember, discounted prices.
Amazing fight scenes, animated better than anything I've seen. They've got, like, rotating cameras, multiple moves. Like, seeing how different people fight. It's like, they introduce Sato's sister, Chaga, later on in the series. And she uses chopsticks, like knives. And she's fighting. There's these twins who use shopping baskets to, like, launching themselves around the shop. And it's just so intense and amazing, and they're just trying to get some food.
You gotta love Japan.
Yeah, he's just like, is this a thing? Like, because everyone, like, there's like a huge community based around this activity in this show.
I just want to add something to what Ben's saying, right? Beware the housewives.
Oh, the boars.
Yeah.
They have, like, names for all, like, the different competitors, basically. Like, most people, they're known as wolves. They're after the food. But there's, like, the boars, who are, like, older women with, like, a lot of power behind them.
And
who,
shopping trolleys.
Yeah, and shopping trolleys. And they're all trying to hold back this woman with a shopping trolley until the guys put out the stickers for the half price so they can go get it before she goes in and grabs them all.
Right.
See, the thing is, it's actually a very accurate reflection of what actually happens in those situations in Japan. I don't know how they came up with the idea, but it's actually a really good idea.
So I love the guy who sticks the half price labels on, like, that is the food god.
Yeah, you never touch him.
Yeah, like he is honorable. We respect this man.
And you have to wait until he's done. Those are the rules.
Yeah, basically, when the guy walks in the back door, you wait for the employee doors to close, then it's all on for your food.
But the boars don't obey the rules.
Yeah. The boars will go. They will pick up all the food and land. Can you go put the stickers on now? Like, now she has them in her trolley. Like, you're going to do it anyway. Put the sticker on them. Like, it's like, oh, poor.
So they're not even obeying social con.
Oh, no. It's like, they've also got things like, I think they call them, like, the Typhoon. There's, like, just the rugby club. It's like, yeah, there's no point in condemning. We have a boar and the typhoon coming. Like, we're not going to get any food. So it's very amusing. It's got a lot of comedy. The action scenes are amazing. Like, everything with Oshiroi, who's, like, she's a little girl and she's, like, kind of cute. She's a bit of a germaphobe. Except, like, when she gets a bento box, she's waiting for everyone to fight, and she just sort of runs in, grabs a bento box, and runs off. Except she's, like, she writes fanfics about muscular men, and she's basing it off the activities of the main character.
Ah, okay.
So, like, she's just hilarious. Every moment, like, she's about is hilarious. Particularly when Omi's about her sister, who's overly protective and think that everything is Sato trying to do something wrong. Doesn't help that Sato's a bit of a pervert in this. But, like, he even gets nicknamed. Like, all the major wolves get nicknames, and he is named the pervert. Like, just a few unlucky events led to it, but is... So, yeah, I've really enjoyed this. It's one of the funniest animes I've seen in a while, one of the greatest action animes. and made me a bit hungry. Because like he's got that general anime thing where they make all the food look so delicious. Like when they were eating the eel, I was like, oh, I want that. So
whereas if I said, do you want a bit of this eel, Ben?
Yeah, I'm like, eel, that doesn't sound that good. But man, if a few were there, they have conflicts about their food. They join up with a group called the Hunting Dogs, who have like a foolproof way of getting food. And then like, nah, I can't do this. I'm there for the fight. Food doesn't taste as good unless you fight for it. it's very amusing. Like, all the characters are amazing. Like, and it's just so funny. And, like I said, better action than I've seen in any Dragon Ball.
Cool.
Yep.
It's Bento Ball now.
Yep. So, Bento. It's
better when they're fighting over food than named after food.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so that was Ben with Bento. I have Kamisama dolls, or God dolls.
Yes.
Not related to Kamisama Kiss, is it?
No, this is a very, very different animal. Pardon the pun. Right. I'm going to start off with a little bit. You have to understand the very first scene in this series to understand the series. I really can't put it any simpler than that. Very first scene is basically, you know, it's quite dramatic and a little bit kind of, it's going for the kind of, oh, what the hell's going on? How is it? Why is it starting like this? Yada, yada, yada. It's got three kids. Mm-hmm. One of them is carrying the other two. He's basically carrying one and dragging the other one. And they're being chased by this huge, monstrous type thing that fires energy beams from its mouth. And they're being protected by this doll type thing. But the doll's not strong enough. And the monster's about to kill them, you know, and then this little brown-eyed boy and the doll do something and the monster gets destroyed. Years later, a guy called Kuga Kyohei, who's the brown-haired boy, has left his family of priests and moved to Tokyo to attend college. Okay. Because he's from a family, he's what's known as a Seki. He's from one of the great priest families in this story. Kamisama Dolls is basically about his past and how it comes back to haunt him. He just wants a normal life now. He doesn't want anything to do with all of the priestly stuff. He doesn't want anything to do with these kakashi, which are basically these dolls that represent the gods, which are a bit like giant robots. It is giant robot anime.
Okay.
But in a spiritual sense.
That sort of makes sense. Like god dolls, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
Okay, in terms of the story, it's a little bit, it seems a little bit bland. It's more about the drama than it is about the combat, right at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Kyohei trying to come to terms with the fact that something happened in his past and he wishes he could remember, but all he knows is that he caused a lot of destruction. His best friend, Aki, he's not seen him since that incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aki, something happened to Aki, but he can't remember that either. And he's basically separated himself from everything he knows to try and protect himself, to try and protect his own sanity. And it's more focused on the character drama than it is combat, but combat does come into it in a big way towards the end of the series. His friend Aki turns up wanting revenge, and then everything kind of goes haywire after that.
Yeah.
His little sister turns up, and she has taken his place as the Seki of the family, so she controls the god doll now.
Yeah.
Only problem is he can also control it.
Hmm.
Because he's much more powerful. He's like, it turns out he's like stupidly powerful, crazy powerful, one of the most powerful of everybody of all time. And then there's all sorts of politics that come in from the other priestly families. They're all trying to get one up on each other. So they're all trying to do this or that. And in the middle of it all, Kyohei is just saying, look, I don't want anything to do with that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Let me get on with my life. I don't have anything to do with that anymore. But they won't let him. And so the past keeps pulling him back until something changes in him.
Yeah.
Until he realizes he can't run away because they won't let him go. It's that simple. They will not let him go no matter where he goes in the world, no matter what he does. The only escape for him is to kill himself.
Yeah.
It is as stark a choice as that.
Happy fun times in anime.
Yeah, it is happy fun times. But the thing is, it does the drama really well, but it keeps trying to shove in really banal humor. It doesn't work. And it's just kind of, look, if you're going to put humor in, actually make it funny. you know, actually make the audience smile or make the viewer at least, you know, laugh or chuckle a little. Don't just make it kind of this bland thing.
Yeah.
You know, the combat is done really, really well. Although some of the combat is just kind of two giant doll type things with flapping arms knocking into each other like bumper cars.
Yeah.
In terms of the design, all the characters look normal. You know, but I actually think that's a purposeful thing. Brainspace, who did the production on this, I think the problem that a lot of people have with this series is they look at the character design and they say, okay, the Kakashi, the doll gods, they're all quite imaginative and, you know, really interesting. But then you've got the characters and they all look kind of bland. So what's the problem? I think the idea was to just say, well, look, these are just normal people.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have pointy hair and, you know, spikes and are covered in spiky clothing. You know, the hair doesn't get pointier when they get superpowers and stuff like that or turn blonde. They're just normal people, just normal everyday people. They look normal. It's that simple. Dialogue's the same. Everyone speaks in a normal way. Nobody's kind of declaiming how they're going to conquer the world or, you know, how they're going to save the universe or whatever, or their drill will pierce the heavens. Nothing like that. But it's still not quite fitting together. Kamisama Dolls is trying to be something for everybody. It tries to do too much with what it has instead of sticking to the point and just going, like, this is the story, we're going to continue along this. It tries to be funny for people and dramatic for people and action-packed for people, and it just doesn't work.
So he's taking on too much.
Yeah.
It's got a good base idea, but it's
the core concept is brilliant. The core concept is actually really quite clever. You know, because it ties into this whole idea of fading religions, you know, especially the tribal ones. You know, as technology has become more and more advanced, religion has started taking more of a sideline.
Yeah.
And some religions, you know, adapted to technology. Other religions decided to, you know, especially the more tribal ones, they decided to hide away from society. And that's what this is dealing with, one of the ones that hide away from society, the ones that say, okay, we're going to keep our secrets safe, because if we let our secrets out into the world, it could be very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to protect these secrets
yeah.
to make sure that humanity doesn't misuse them. And that's what it's dealing with, effectively, those sorts of religions. And there are a few of them are still around,
yeah.
especially in the East. I mean, I think there was about 20 or so in China that nobody knows about because yeah. they're so secretive. And in those, you know, in that context, it really works. It just doesn't work as a something for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, it is worth watching if you want to, if you want something a little bit different. If you want something a little bit dramatic and a little bit action packed, just don't watch it for the comedy.
If you wanted some comedy action packed bento,
yes,
my new favorite anime.
You really like it that much?
Oh, I do. It is. It's sort of become one of the top animes I've watched. I loved it that much.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm done. It's all the floor is yours, Ben.
Yes. I'm now talking about Appleseed, number 13. Or series 13, I'm not
no,
sure.
No. It's just Appleseed 13.
Oh, really?
It's not series so 13
I was
13.
Like, have I missed a lot of Appleseed? Because I've watched a few of the movies and like...
That's what everyone else thinks.
Yeah.
That's why nobody watched Appleseed 13, because they were like, I haven't watched 11 or 12 yet.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I have 12 other series to... Like, when I've been watching them since, like, the... Like, I've got the proper old one that's, like, really janky animation when it was still in 2D, and I've watched
that's
that.
That's what everyone
like,
thought. Everyone thought, all right, I've seen, you know, there's this original one, but where are the others? Well, what's going on?
So the producers were just like, let's call it 13. 13 sounds cool, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure why it is called Appleseed 13. Not even sure where the Appleseed comes into it.
Ah, well, that's the it's more in the older ones, yeah, but it's to it do with, it. You know, like the AIs and the
yeah.
The sentience, the freedom yeah. that they experience is like it's seen as an analogy to the Apple of Eden.
Oh,
and
I
things.
See.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's not really touched upon that much in this one, so
yeah.
So Appleseed, if you don't know, is about a girl called Junin and her partner slash lover.
slash awesome robot guy.
Yeah. Briarios, who is a veteran cyborg, basically. This takes place where they've just been transferred to a new unit in ESWAT that's basically higher level than the police. Like, when the police can't handle something, E-SWAT come in their giant mech suit things and save the day. During the course of the season, they have to deal with terrorists, corrupted politicians, military equipment gone rogue, all sorts of stuff. Like, a lot of different mission types, a lot of interesting things, a lot of it dealing with the conflict between biodroids and the Human Liberation Front, where biodroids are basically, it's how humanity's progressing. It's sort of...
They're like android-type things.
Yes. They've got a long... they've basically got...
Basically, they're like the lab-grown humans to an extent. Biologically, they're almost identical to humans, but they're not conceived in the same way.
They're not clones either.
They have limiters to, like, their life expectancy and their emotions, so they can keep their emotions in check a lot easier because they've got these limitations in. And at this point, actual humans are probably about 20% of the population of Olympus, that's the city it's based in. And there's a lot of conflict between the humans going, we don't want to be ruled by the... Thyroids and
they took her tubes.
Yes, basically a little bit. And so conflict's happening, and then there's a lot of other crimes going on in the sea, and it's basically about these two and the squad they work with taking on the on these crimes. Thing is, it is horribly paced. It's like, when it's doing things well, it is amazingly. The action scenes are done well, but it's just say it's a 30-minute episode. There'll be about 20 minutes of... it'll be about 10 minutes where the important stuff happens. There'll be 10 minutes where nothing seems to happen of any real importance at all, where they just drag their feet. There'll then be 5 minutes of an action-packed thing. Then it'll go back to a slow bit again, and then it'll end with an action bit. I'm like, you've got your measurements wrong here. Like, I'm here for the action-y bits, and you're not showing any of it. There's, like... And even when you're about to do an action-y bit, it's like, you'd slow it really down. It's like, there was... In, I believe it was episode 2, a plane has been captured, and there's... All the passengers are hostage. And they're, like... They get in a suit, they're flying, like, coupled to the underbelly so we can get in through the emergency hatch. And, like, oh, this is gonna be cool. Giant fight on an airplane. They go in like, oh, everyone's gone. Let's look around for 5 minutes. Like, shouldn't you be more intense? I mean, it's like 2,000 people on this plane and they're all missing.
I mean, how would you say it compared to something like a contemporary like Ghost in the Shell, which is the same sort of genre, you know, like sci-fi, thriller, police-ish?
See, the Ghost in the Shell, the main difference is Ghost in the Shell knows how to do its pacing. It gets that equal balance in there. Like... Because there's interesting stuff that needs to be talked about, but they do that with a good balance, the action-y bits that really draw you in. Appleseed does a bad job of this.
Okay.
It's got interesting story going on, it's just, there's a lot to sit through. That's why, rather than this series, they did two movies from this series called Tartarus and Arnos, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And they basically cut out a lot of the fillery bits, and they made a well-paced movie. I recommend them over this series.
So watch the movies instead of the series.
Yeah, because that gives you the cliff notes of what matters. The series has a lot of stuff that just doesn't.
It's interesting that you mentioned the movies, because I know we're coming up to the end of the show, but just to touch on the whole movie bit, they made movies of this series, Tartarus and Arnos.
Yeah.
They're doing that with a lot of shows lately. They did that with two of the three Nanoha series. They haven't done the Strikers one. They did that with Madoka as well.
Yeah.
So
the first time I can think of it happening was Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Like, there was Ghost in the Shell, the standalone complex, and then they came out with the movie that was just all the parts of The Laughing Man put together.
Yeah.
It's like, and that's
and
basically...
they did that with Individual 11 as well.
Yeah, so that's basically what this equates to, really.
Yeah.
It's like, I say if you're a fan of Appleseed, it's got a lot of the things you like. It has a lot of the chemistry between the main characters, but...
Yeah.
Is it worth mentioning just quickly the style of animation if you're not familiar with...
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, this is one of the few 3D animated anime series. Like,
yes, it is.
It's done completely 3D. It's done very well at points, very shoddy at others. Like, I can't help but notice bad 3D animation when I do. I'm like, at points I'm like, oh, Ruby did better. And I'm like, and so...
Oblivion Island is the one you want to watch. Production IG.
I'll check it out. So, like, when I've watched the movies of this, they don't have any of the horrible animation points.
Yeah.
But there are points in, like, the series where, like, the shaders are freaking out on someone's chin or something like that. there was, like...
That's a poster quote, if ever there was one.
There was a point where this woman, you could see, like, a jawbone, like, very, like... is black line, you could see the jawbone, and then she'd move her head slightly and the entire thing would disappear. And then she move again, it would come like, and I'm just there like the reappearing and disappearing jaw. It's like, because yes. it was just very blatant to me. Like, I don't know if other people pick it up. It's like, it is very well animated for the most part. Like, the action scenes are what matter and they're done amazingly. I said, yeah, movies are better than the series.
Okay.
Fantastic. Right. We're at the end of the show, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Watch Bento. It's amazing. It's got Ben in the title. How can it be bad?
On that note, I think it's time to leave. I've been Rob.
I've been Ben.
And I'm going to fight for some food at the half-off thing now, right now.
Yes.
It's the end of the day, Dave. God.
Now, do you know what Dave needs? He needs a big cardigan, an overcoat, and a shopping trolley. He can be a boar.
He's way too small to be a boar.
Have you not seen the little old ladies? The word okay, little thanks. Is in there. Anyway.
Yep. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next week.